Okay, today I want to speak about joy. Okay, it's nice to start a new year and think about something joyful. So this is called Joy to the World, all right? I'm starting in a scripture in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. And it says this in the Amplified, "Be not grieved and depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold." Okay? So what kind of week have you had? What kind of year has it been so far? You know, all 14 days of it or whatever. Have we been grieved? Have we been depressed? Or just plain down, you know? The enemy throws all he can at us sometimes to pull us down. You know, the car might break down and that gets us down. The fridge is no longer working as a fridge and everything begins to melt. That can get us down. Someone told me recently they came home after a holiday. There must have been a power cut or something. Everything in the fridge was melting all over the floor. Everything in the freezer was stinking like dead fish, you know. So little things like that can get us down. A work situation can get us down. We can lose our cool, our temper, our peace of mind, and our joy all before lunch. In fact, sometimes before breakfast. If it's been a really bad week, it can be gone by breakfast. The enemy wants to steal our joy, but joy is worth fighting for. It's so worth fighting for. This is another scripture, John 10:10, and this is Jesus speaking. "The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." He wants us to enjoy our life. He wants there to be joy in the middle of everything that we're having to walk through. We're meant to have an abundance of joy overflowing in our lives. Having joy is God's plan for us. He wants us to be happy. FYI, the enemy doesn't. Just thought it'd be a wee bit trendy there, you know. FYI, the enemy does not want us to be happy. Why does the enemy want to steal our joy? Because joy is power. It is power to overcome the enemy. It said back there in Nehemiah 8:10 that the joy of the Lord is our strength and stronghold. As the first scripture we read out, He is our strength and our stronghold. Joy is not just a nice fluffy feeling when everything is going well. Joy is deciding when everything is going pear-shaped that we are going to survive. And we are going to walk through and we are going to come out at the other end of that tunnel strong. That there's a light at the end of the tunnel and it's not just another train coming towards us. No, we are going to walk through and we are going to get to the other side. If we can find joy in the Lord, it is a powerful place to be. It is a strong place. So here's a question. Is it possible to live in a place of joy regardless of our circumstances? The circumstances might be stinking like rotten fish in that person's freezer, you know? But is it possible to find joy in the middle of that? And the answer to that is yes, I think it is. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I think it is possible to find joy in the middle of everything. I think we have to know the value of joy and we have to fight for it. Joyce Meyer says this, "Put your trust in God and make a decision to rejoice. Whatever's going on around about us, even if we don't understand it, being joyful is a decision. And we are the only ones that can make it. We have to choose to be joyful, and we have to do it on purpose. We just say, I'm not going to have whatever these circumstances are throwing at me, fear or anger or frustration or rejection. I refuse to have those feelings. I'm going to survive this. This is a quote by a lady called Kay Warren. Most of you may know her husband more. He's Rick Warren. But Kay has written a book called Choose Joy, Because Happiness Isn't Enough. And this is her definition of joy. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And the determined choice to praise God in all things. Joy isn't just happy, happy, happy. That's happiness. Happiness is happy, happy, happy. But joy is the decision to walk through and come out the other end as a survivor. Come out the other end victorious. So joy is an assurance, she said. A quiet confidence. It's not just jumping up and down, because that would just be happiness. Whatever we face, we have to choose to praise God in the middle of it. And it brings joy and assurance and confidence that we're going to survive the circumstances. So where does joy come from? Where are we going to find this joy? Galatians 5:22 gives me the answer, and it says this: but the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There are 9 fruits of the Spirit mentioned in the Bible, and joy is one of them. And God gives us all of these. When we ask God into our life, we receive Him, and we receive these 9 fruits of the Spirit. They're in us. It's just sometimes they're buried way, 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 way down deep in the soles of our shoes, you know. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy comes from God's Spirit in us. The Spirit of God Himself put joy on the inside of us. It's God that invented it. So do you want a revelation today about joy? Apart from the fact that God's the one that's put it on the inside of us, here's the revelation. It's always there. Joy is always there. Right down deep inside on the inside of us, it is always there. But we just have to find it sometimes. We have to dig deep to get to it. It's in us all the time, but we are the ones that have to release it in our lives. We have to rejoice on purpose. Don't let anyone or anything rob us of our joy. Make a decision to be happy on purpose, regardless of the circumstances. Sometimes that might mean that we've got to find the Word of God, speak it out our mouth, put a CD on or a YouTube and start worshiping God with some good worship music. That's how we get the joy to rise up on the inside of us. But it's always there, because His Spirit is always there, and He's promised to never leave us or forsake us. So joy is never going to leave us. We just have to find it by whatever way works for us. Putting on a worship song, reading the Word, speaking in tongues, whatever works for us, do it. God hasn't caused the circumstances, but He has promised to be with us in the middle of it all. I don't mean that we go about grinning like idiots saying, "Praise God, I'm in pain. Praise God, it's pouring with rain today, you know. Praise God, I'm feeling miserable." No, that would be certifiable. You could get locked up for less than that. But we can say, in the middle of this pain, God is still with me, and I'm going to praise Him and thank Him for it. And that is a key to helping joy rise up on the inside. Psalm 30 and verse 5 says this: weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I don't know if you're in the nighttime right now where weeping happens, or if you're in the morning where you've got some joy, but stuff happens in life. But God is on our side, and joy will come. Joy is on its way. You know, the Bible tells a story about a man named Job, and it says Job lost everything, all of his children, all of his wealth, everything except his wife. That's all he was left with. That's a good thing to be left with, okay? I'm just telling you, that's a good thing to be left with. He lost everything else. And it says in Job 8, verse 21, "He will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy." Even in the middle of losing everything, even in the middle of losing all of your loved ones, even in the middle of losing all of your wealth or your job or anything else pertaining to your life, God can still fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. I know, because He's done it in my life. And I know there's people in this room, and He's done it in your life. I can remember someone giving me that scripture once. I was praying about a situation in my life, and I was fasting and praying. I was so desperate for an answer to this situation. Just a young Christian, single woman, I was desperate for an answer to a difficult situation in my life. And I felt I got the scripture that God was going to turn it around. And I went to one of the elders of the church after fasting for a few days, off and on, and praying about it. And he said to me, I've been praying for you, Sandra, and I really don't think I've got much except I've got this one scripture from Job. And he had the exact same scripture that God had given me. So that encouraged me, that even though I was in the middle of tears and crying about something, he was going to give me laughter and he was going to put joy on my lips. So if you're having a hard time, hang in there, because joy is on its way. Now I want to look at a story about Paul and Silas. Paul and his friend Silas were in prison, but they still had joy because they chose to praise God in the middle of their circumstances. So it's in Acts 16 and verse 23, reading from there, and it says this. And when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. He, having received so strict a charge, put them in the inner prison, the dungeon, and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, as Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the very foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once, all the doors were opened and everyone's shackles were unfastened. It's an amazing story of breakthrough and turnaround. So I don't know what your week's been like, but Paul and Silas were having a bad hair day. Okay, this was a bad week. They didn't only get put in the dungeon, they got put in the inner dungeon. So I'm imagining the inner dungeon's right in the middle, and there's other prison cells all round about it. So there wouldn't have been any windows, I don't think. It would have been pitch black. It would have been so hot and smelly and steamy and stinky in this dungeon. So they were in the dungeon, they were in stocks, they were in just a complete mess and probably in excrement, at least up to their ankles, if not more. This was not a good situation. The circumstances were awful. They were depressing. It was just a natural place to sit down and cry and have a good pity party to yourself because of the state of everything around you. But Paul and Silas did not look at the circumstances. They looked at their God instead and began to sing. And singing turned into worship, and worship turned into joy, and joy turned into a miracle. As Paul and Silas worshipped, suddenly there was a breakthrough in the middle of these horrendous circumstances. Suddenly, prison doors flew open and they were set free. They were set free from that dungeon and all of the muck that was around about them. God can break open our prison too. He can bring freedom into our lives no matter what the enemy is saying. He might say the situation will never change. The circumstances are always going to be like this. This year's not going to be any better than last year. We need to put those lies out of our mind and we need to begin to let joy rise on the inside. This is a quote from Joyce Meyer, and he's talking about Paul and Silas, and she says this. Their joy preceded a sudden breakthrough. They exercised the power of joy in the midst of very difficult circumstances. They experienced a supernatural joy, evidenced by their praying and singing. Their joy could not have been a natural response because there was nothing in the natural to be joyful about. So if you're in a situation or a circumstance at the moment where there's nothing in the natural to be joyful about, then hello, you're in direct line for a miracle. You're in the exact same situation that Paul and Silas were in. And it's just a fantastic situation to see God move and change everything. So here's a revelation for us. When there's nothing in the natural to be joyful about, we can still have joy. We can still have it. Joy takes us out of the natural circumstances and puts us into the supernatural ones. So if we're standing on this side and it's all just rubble around us and everything's collapsed round about us, and we start to worship and we start to speak the word of God and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He has promised to never leave me or forsake me. And we start to speak out the word of God, then we are taking ourselves out of those natural circumstances and we are jumping with both feet into the supernatural. We are jumping into the power of God. That's where God is. He's in the supernatural. And if we need a supernatural breakthrough, then we must begin to release joy. because joy is the strength to praise God and see prayers answered. If we truly believe the answer is on its way, we will have joy. Otherwise, we're thinking, God's not going to answer. That's why I'm so miserable. But if we got an email just pinged into our inbox right there from heaven saying the answer's going to come at 11:22 on Tuesday, Sandra, there would be joy. We need to believe that God is going to move. We only remain depressed if we think God hasn't answered or God won't answer. A lack of joy is a lack of faith in God to answer. I think we've all been there. We've all had days where we're lacking faith in God to answer. But all that will produce is a lack of joy in our lives. You know, I've used this example before, but if we were to win the lottery, there would be some joy. You know, first of all, I'd have to buy a ticket, just have to say. But if I got a phone call from the lottery people and they said, Mrs. Shafiris, you have won the lottery. It will just take us about 3 months to confirm that you are who you say you are, but £10 million are coming your way. Woo-hoo-hoo. I take you all out to McDonald's for a happy meal. Sorry, for a joy meal. I take you all out for a joy meal with chicken nuggets and chips all round, no expense spared. I'd be jumping up and down, waving my undergarments in the air. I'd be so excited that I had won that, and there'd be joy, even though I hadn't received it yet. Even though I couldn't see it, and it wasn't in my bank account, it wasn't in my hands. No, there will be joy even before we see the answer, if we truly believe that God's heard our prayers. Here's another quote. Our heart attitude establishes things in the spirit realm, and our actions and words establish things in the natural realm. So we need to change our heart attitude. And when our heart starts to lighten, then we speak the words out of our mouth. We speak the words out of our mouth, our heart gets lighter. It's like the opposite of a vicious circle. It's a good circle. You know, one thing fires the other, and we get happier as the time goes on. So our heart attitude, is it one of worship? Is it one of praise and thanking God? Is it one of growing some joy in our lives? Or is it the opposite? You know, an attitude of joy is powerful enough to establish things in the spirit realm. And that's where sometimes things need to change. And then if we speak out our joy, our words establish the answer in our natural circumstances. You might say, Sandra, how do I know if I've got joy or not? You'll know by listening to the words that are coming out your mouth. If the words coming out of our mouth are negative, then we're not really encouraging joy to rise up. We need to speak his word. We need to speak positives. Isaiah 61 and verse 10 says this, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. It's so powerful to let joy come up and out of our mouths. So are we greatly rejoicing in our God, or are we looking at our prison cell? Those are the only two choices, folks. Look at the prison cell, look at the padlock, look at the jailer, or look at our God and think he's greater than all of these. He can break these doors open. He's greater than the whole lot. Paul and Silas praised and praised and praised till their socks fell off. And then they praised some more and the prison doors opened. They let joy rise up. And God wasn't saying to them, oh, you need to praise more because you've not suffered enough. Or just suffer a little bit longer. He wasn't saying that at all. He wasn't saying, sing a little bit harder. God's saying, don't give up because you are discovering the key to victory. God wasn't holding back the miracle. Paul and Silas had to birth it. They had to birth it by releasing joy. They had to say, regardless of this, our God is greater and we are going to sing about it. So when you get home, just look at your circumstances and say, regardless of this, my God is greater and I'm going to sing about it. I'm going to speak the word out about it over my circumstances. Here's a key to joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and praise moves the spirit realm. If you don't go home with anything else, go home with those two things today. That if we need to be strong in the circumstances, then joy is the answer. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And praise moves the spirit realm. That's a key to changing things in our lives. Praise pushes us out of that dungeon, out of the physical circumstances, and into some spiritual possibilities. It acknowledges what God's already done for us. And we start to speak that out with our words. Because praise is simply saying thank you to God for all the good stuff. And it's just so powerful. Here's another question. Last question today. Do we believe God's will happens in heaven? Not here on earth, but up in heaven. Is the enemy going to be there? Does the Bible tell us there's going to be crying or anything like that in heaven? No. Does God's will always happen in heaven? Yes. The answer is yes. Why? Why does God's will always happen in heaven? Because God's here on earth as well. Here's why. It's in Revelation 4 in verse 8, and it says this. Four living creatures never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That's the atmosphere in heaven. It's an atmosphere of praise, it's an atmosphere of worship, and it's an atmosphere of joy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You know, when you hear people talking about God Almighty down here, it's usually as a swear word. So God's will is not automatically going to come to pass on earth because it's not automatic that we're speaking the word of God out. We're speaking a whole lot of rubbish and negatives out. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. It's praise and worship 24/7 in heaven. It's joy and strength 24/7. By pushing into praise, we push into the realm of heaven. See, we see praise as optional. We come on a Sunday and there's half an hour of praise, which is wonderful and fantastic, and we thank the worship team for that. But being thankful isn't optional. Being thankful is powerful. That's what it is. It's powerful. When we praise, power and strength and joy are released in our lives. Just like a stick of dynamite going off the minute we start to speak out what God says. And God can finally move because we finally believe who he is and we're singing about it like Paul and Silas did in that prison. Here's a couple of scriptures to finish with. Psalm 100 verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Not with the hen of depression. When the hen of depression lands on the shoulder, push it off, you know, so they won't land on someone else. Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Not just for half an hour, one day a week. And Philippians 4, 4 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. And it's so important, I will say again, rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Not the dungeon, not the prison, not the padlock, not the jail cell, not the circumstances, not the rubbish that we're standing in, but whatever is excellent and praiseworthy. Think about these. Think about the good stuff. Don't get bogged down in the rubbish. Praise and rejoice. Praise and rejoice. That is how we enter his presence. Come to God with thanksgiving. It's a good starting point for whatever miracle you need. It's another key to seeing our prayers answered because we're daring to believe there's a power stronger than the prison we are in. Folks, could I just repeat that? Dare to believe there is a power stronger than the circumstances that you are in. If you don't go home with anything else, go home with that. That is a revelation from God. Dare to believe that God can come and change the circumstances that we're in, no matter how bad they are. We need to dare to believe for something higher than where we're at. If we're in the valley, we need to lift our eyes to the mountaintop and get back up there with God in our emotions. Come to God with thanksgiving because it's a good starting point for a miracle. It's another key to seeing our prayers answered. We're daring to believe that there's a power stronger than the prison that we're in. Paul and Silas had to press in to get their miracle, and we do too. And then suddenly, things will move for us as well. Praise is a powerful weapon that moves the spirit realm. Joy is a powerful weapon that fills us with strength. But we're the only ones who can open our mouth and start that process. We're the only ones who can open our heart and let joy rise up. The joy of the Lord is our strength, but we need to recognize it and we need to use it. I'm going to ask Adrian to come up and lead us in a final song of worship.